Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys from the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
I am Crud, and you are listening to Shoddy Radio. Andre Highland and Annalie Lawson are in studio for this episode, and they talk about all sorts of things, from his live Jesse Miller show to the Comedy Central pilot with the same name. They also recorded a new Terrace Top 10, as well as another very funny bit involving me. But sadly, the audio was lost for both of those. But don't worry, the show is still really good. Enjoy.
Guest on this evening is, I heard about this guy through a producer, Lyle, my roommate, and he basically does a lot of online videos. He's why don't you give your own intro? You're probably going to be a little bit better than I am. He does great character work. That's what I was telling him beforehand. Every character that you do is 100% true to life, basically. Like, there's sort of people that you would see in a small town and you would, like, kind of laugh at but not really care about. They're not bad people, but they're just sort of, I don't know.
They're kind of people you grow up around or see, whether you're tight with them or not. They're like, you know, there are definitely archetypes you can identify with.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the character versions I do have their own personality attached to those archetypes. But but definitely I try to build these characters around real type of people, not like... Can't be like, I have a character who has a, you know, like, I don't know, sideways hat man, and or whatever. I don't know. Like, it's like a real character with like a real life name and a life of his own and everything that. So very grounded in reality. But like, as grounded as it can be, you know, there's still ridiculous characters, but within the confines of like what you'd really, an expectation of reality.
Like, yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah, I was telling, Chris and I were both talking beforehand that we grew up in a small town in Northern California filled with a few of the characters. I mean, the main character that I know you as is Jesse Miller, who's basically just a guy you would meet in the CVS parking lot, I think you once described as, who has an energy drink and is trying to get some beer.
Kind of like Appalachian urban redneck kind of dude. I mean, redneck's not the best description of him, but sort of like, you know, like 21st century urban.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appalachian, what have you, kind of dude.
And I mean, I can't tell you, there's so many...
Energy drink generation.
Yeah, there's so many people that we grew up with that were... There was a kid we were just talking about named... I don't even know if we should... Chris doesn't like to give people's names from our hometown, but I like to, so... who was basically... He was just this kid in high school with the foulest mouth who was just... Jesse Miller reminds me of him a little bit, I guess.
Well, Jesse's not mean.
Jesse's not mean, but I know. What other characters are you, like, what are your favorite characters, I guess? Or
I mean, it seems like I always have, like, 1 to 3 characters that I'm doing a lot of at any point, and then, you know, there's normally, like, maybe one I'm trying out new, then, like, a handful of others that I have, but I'm not doing at the time, you know what I mean? Like, but I guess I'll just give a sort of some favorites or whatever I can think of from over the time, like... Jesse Miller, obviously, is the big one that's been taking up most of my time the last couple years.
Have you been, I know you do a lot of shows around LA, at like the Jesse Miller talk show, basically.
Yeah.
What's the idea behind that, I guess? How does a live show of the Jesse Miller talk show go?
I mean, it's kind of, all right. The Jesse Miller talk show is in the sort of format of, it's not too far from a regular talk show you might see, but right. It's hosted by Jesse Miller, right. Which is like sort of the biggest difference. You know what I mean? Where it's at now, as far as the live show is concerned, I have on three guests each time. One is, I normally come out, I do some sort of introduction, sort of monologue of sorts. And mm-hmm. sometimes that consists of just pulling some out of the audience and having them read my jokes or, you know, and it's all in character the whole time, you know. I never break the whole show, that kind of thing. You know, the monologue can be a number of different things, mostly just jokes and some sort of Jesse thoughts on life or right. what's going on. Then we'll have the first guest come out, who's the comic, and they do a set, stand-up set, like mm-hmm. 5 minutes, and I'll sit behind them at the desk, and I'll interject with them while they're doing right. their set. Not in a mean, like, oh, I'm gonna mess them up kind of way.
I know.
But sort of like Jesse's just like, yeah, I'm part of the conversation.
Jesse's not mean. He's just... it's a weird thing. I don't know if you have trouble with this, but... I always think it's ridiculous when we grew up, we actually went to a theater class, and theater people are so, they're very, they hold things a little too...
Sometimes people are too dramatic.
Yeah, they're too dramatic, obviously. I mean, I guess the class is called drama. Yeah. So whenever I start talking about characters, now the character, he's like this, but it's hard to talk about an actual character without getting into that sort of third person
yeah,
discussion.
Yeah, it sounds all like goofy actory stuff, but it's true. Exactly. I don't think of Jesse as like, oh, when I do this, like I have to talk about it as Jesse, because I feel like it's this creation I made. Like if I don't know, if I fucking built a boat, I'd talk about the boat.
Right,
you know,
that's exactly. I always hate whenever I ask, now is Jesse a, would you
think? No, it makes sense. It's funny you say that, because when I was little, it used to bother me. I used to like Cheers a lot. I mean, I guess I still do. But anyway, they had something where they had the cast of Cheers on some panel, and they were interviewing them, and they had Cliff Clavin on, and they were asking him, like, what would Cliff do if he did this? And he's like, Cliff's one of those guys who would do whatever it was. And I was like, you are Cliff. Like, shut up, man. Like, just answer the question. But I totally understand where he's coming from at this point, because that's not him.
Tyler Perry on 60 Minutes, they're asking about Madea. And he asked him something about, now, what do you think Madea would do in this situation? Right. And Tyler Perry just, oh, I can only imagine Madea, what Madea would do.
Like, I guess it depends on if I
whatever
like...
you pretend Madea is doing.
Well, I mean, it's funny, though. I mean, it seems kind of silly, but also makes sense. Like, I'll see stuff and be like, oh, man, Jesse would be into that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Puddle of Mud is playing somewhere in L.A. I'd be like, oh, Jesse would be at the show or in the parking lot looking to get into it, you know, or whatever.
That makes sense.
So you started this in Cincinnati, though, right?
Roughly. Well, let me explain the rest of what the talk show is like, and then, I'll talk about the origins, I guess. Like, for the talk show, the first is stand up. I interject and talk to the person while they do their set.
Uh-huh.
And they sit down for an interview, like, for about, like, 10-minute interview.
Right.
And I'll ask them questions about, you know, their life and their, you know, I'll have a structured outline for the show and questions that I come up with based on research I do on each performer or guest on the show. And it'll be like, you know, roundabout questions, like they might be from the same, lived in the same neighborhood in Florida where Scott Stapp lived at one point. And, you know, I'll ask him, like, you know, what was it like? Any wild stories about Scott Stapp from the old neighborhood? And, like, clearly he doesn't probably have
obviously.
It. But Jesse will always try to associate, you know, the guests in some sort of, like, you know, I could have guests on who have, like, real legit credits and ones who, I think all the people are legit in their own, you know, talent or whatever.
I know what you mean.
But he'll try to glom on to, like, whatever the biggest facet of it
absolutely.
Is. Even if, like, they have the same birthday as someone famous and they'll be like, you know, what is that like? You know, to associate the guests with, like, I don't know, Harrison Ford or something like that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what's going on. But all the little facts he brings up are true. He just makes these ridiculous relations, you know, relationships with and connections with everything to sort of make him, you know, if that guest then has that connection, then Jesse has that connection to the guest. And therefore, his show
important.
Is now connected to the Star Wars trilogy or whatever it might be. You know what I mean? And it is all true what he's based on, but it's like the thinnest of thin.
Because
I always think it's funny when people, you know, like talking resume all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the stuff's true, but it's like you're really milking that. You know?
Right, absolutely.
Like,
that's a good point.
Like these girls in high school, they had a website, and, and I remember reading their website. I forget what they call themselves, but they're like, we've worked with such acts as Dave Matthews Band and I don't know, whatever. This is like late 90s and all these other just big acts of that period. And like, I knew what they did. They were ticket terrors at like Riverbend Music Center, which is fine. But like, don't act like you're working with the acts. Like, yeah, you rip the ticket stubs or fucking Sugar Ray or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, who cares?
Who was that guy that worked with Kevin Eubanks that you knew?
Oh my God. Yeah, they're, so my girlfriend's cousin, I think.
Yeah.
He's this. It's what it is that the character Jesse Miller is oblivious to what people think of him. He's oblivious to how transparent he is to the world. That's another thing, right?
A little bit, kind of, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But maybe he does see it.
He knows he's a hype machine, but he kind of drinks his own Kool-Aid.
Right, and yeah. I feel like, God, again, I'm getting into that sort of third person. But he has low self-esteem, so because
I don't know if he does. I don't know if he does.
This guy has he has really low self-esteem, so he talks about every – he just can't stop bragging about himself at all times. And he plays guitar, and he's a pretty good guitarist. But every time he comes over to, like, a family function for them, he gets drunk and then tells just – all these stories of who he's worked with and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But apparently he is playing guitar for Kevin Eubanks. And Kevin Eubanks is the
Tonight Show band guy.
To go and tour around. And he talks about, like...
You couldn't pick the funniest guy to brag about. Not exactly. Anything against Kevin Eubanks.
It's just Kevin
Eubanks. Right, right. It's like one of those names that everybody knows, but it's like, okay.
He's already a totally tertiary character. Yeah. It's like, he's already famous because of Jay Leno. He's kind of calling him. Exactly like what you were saying. He's like, he's just some guy who plays bass at an average level and got a little fame. So he talks about every time he comes in, it takes, God, 30 seconds for him to tell three people in the room. Yeah, I've just been working with Kevin Eubanks. I'm touring with Kevin Eubanks. I can't believe how fast he jumps into it. It makes me
That's pretty funny.
It makes me feel insane. And there was one story he was telling about, like, it was some really very unknown 80s band that he said open for him and Kevin Eubanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got off stage and we were working with them. We got on stage. Everyone was just going nuts. They saw me up there and Kevin Eubanks. And once we got on stage, people were coming up to us. They just can't believe how much we thrashed. They're like, dude, you thrash on guitar, And I'm like, hey, man, I'm only human. It was such a character. I couldn't believe that this was actually happening. If he really believes it,
I'm jealous of him because I would love to have that much real confidence. It's gotta be pretty so funny. Satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, like when anybody, I think, does something with some sort of, novelty of some sort, they want to share it. But then, at least at first or something, but then those people will just up and just will not quit.
And you're
like,
most people will at least try to segue into the conversation.
Are you going to have that last pretzel? Right. The other day, Kevin Eubanks was eating pretzels. I'm working with him.
That's not an exaggeration.
Kevin loves rolled gold.
Right.
Kevin got a new cell phone plan the other day.
So you got onto Fuel TV. Oh, we're going to go to Cincinnati. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
In Cincinnati, but I've seen a few videos that took place in Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah. Let me real quickly just cap what's in the live show. I notice I always do this like on podcasts. I'll just forget about the rest of
this. This is how our entire show is, so don't worry.
So I'm the first guest on, which would be a comic. Then they get interviewed. Then I typically show a new Jesse video. Sometimes I show a video with a different character, but I'll always frame it as though it has nothing. It's not Jesse playing a different character.
Right.
It's just another.
It's just another.
Like, such and such is
unrelated.
Giving us some excuse to show another video. We're getting paid from a network to do a promo a tax incentive from PBS or something. I don't know what it is, some public thing. Anyway, some sort of excuse. Anyway, show a video at that point in the show.
Can I stop you for a second? Sorry.
Oh, the honking? You don't want to use that awesome honking? Let's use it. Use it. Yeah, that car alarm's pretty awesome.
Jesus.
Let's just power through it. Over.
Go ahead.
So we'll show a video at that point, and then we'll set off a car alarm, and then we'll bring our second guest out, which is a variety act, typically a band of some sort. That's normally good. And the guy who books the music is Chris Martins. He's like a music journalist, so he's very in the mix, and he always knows what's up.
Right, that's cool.
So he's get really good musical guests, and then. And then mostly it's musical guests. If it's not, sometimes we'll have on a director and we'll show a video. The last show, we had a friend on who's a yoga instructor.
Uh-huh.
So we did like a yoga demo with Jesse, Daryl, and Tanya.
That's awesome.
Tanya is his guest liaison and dancer. And then Daryl's his musical sidekick.
We do have Tanya in studio right now. I didn't mention it earlier. We had a surprise guest appearance.
Anna Lee Lawson.
Anna Lee Lawson here. Just to prove it.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you about booking the shows. You mentioned that you have a friend who books a lot of the musical stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have help booking the shows, or do you get typically book people that you already know? That's what
it's,
I was going to ask.
I'd say it's mostly me, but I have had help in different areas. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have help. But in general, it's me at the helm of the booking. But, you know, there's people... Well, the music, Chris handles that for the most part. And sometimes I'll know people want to bring it on. And we're pretty, you know, a lot of times he'll be like, these people would be great for it. What do you think? And I'll be like, oh, that would be awesome. Right. Let's go out to them. And he does a really great job of going out to people.
Do you know the people a lot of times before they come on the show? The reason I ask is just as far as stand-up goes, you interrupting their stand-up, I guess most people, if you're in stand-up, you're probably pretty good-natured. But some people take
most people are. You know, I've only had like one or two people that didn't work out with it. You know, but easily 90% of them have been great. Right. You know, from okay with it to great. Right. You know what I mean? And sometimes it takes people a chance to sort of adjust. You know, there's kind of a lot of times two different types of it's different types of people, but in stand-up, typically the ones who do well on the show. Who are ones who are more conversational and storytellers rather than A-B setup punchline jokes or whatever. And I try to do a good – I mean, sometimes I'll goof up a little bit, but I try to do a good job of not interrupting punchlines. I'm not going to say I haven't, but I try not to.
Yeah.
I try to interject in little pockets where – that things can happen.
Sure. Sometimes there's comedians that have already seen the show too, and then they know to expect it.
They generally better at it once. I mean, I guess that must.
Yeah, a lot of times. Well, I guess as far as just booking people, you know, when the show started, I'll just say in general where it is. It's either like people I know and I think are funny, just because I'm in the comedy community anyway. Yeah. I can contact them. You know, blah blah blah.
Definitely.
You want to come do the show. Also, since the show's gotten a bit popular, people will request to be on it, which makes it a lot easier. That's awesome. I can pick and choose if I want to have one. But you know, it's a combination of people being familiar with it and wanting to do it, friends of mine who I think are funny and would want to have on it. And like I said, it's not always just comedians also. But also that sometimes it's trickier to get non-comedians on because people who might be a filmmaker or this, that, or the other aren't as comfortable on stage in front of people. But for the most part, it's good. But I like to mix it up. So there's like one comedian at the top of the show, a variety act, typically a band. Mm-hmm. And at the end, a featured celebrity guest interview of sorts which could typically be like a filmmaker or, you know, somebody's on a TV show. Uh-huh. Sometimes it is a comic, but I'm having them there for the other element of just more of an interview. And then also with booking shows, as the show goes on and I have sort of bigger names, or names more people are familiar with, they go, oh, if that guy did it, he's legitimate. Then that makes it a lot easier for me to be like, oh, such and such has been on, you know, and then they go, okay.
The first time a decent interviews on our show, and ever since then we've been able to get you were really nice about just being responsive without me. You may have done some checking to see that we were legitimate, or at least semi-legitimate.
I did a little search, you know.
But a lot of people we've had to talk into coming on with that sort of, well, Corolla's been on, and we've had a couple other people here and there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which, you're right, it does help. You were going to talk about also the origins being...
Oh, okay. Yeah. And at the end of the show, after the featured interview, we do a challenge, either a quiz or some sort of physical challenge where you can win like a Jesse Miller DVD or a can of Monster or something like that. And it's like all the guests on the show are pit against each other for some sort of silly challenge at the end. And then that's cool. How the show ends, in the sort of climactic silly challenge that they all participate
in.
That's the show, so now I can stop talking about it.
But I haven't made it out to one of the shows.
July 13th?
Lyle's been to a couple, and I promise you, this is not just BS or anything.
Yeah.
I've wanted to for a long time.
I'm terrible at getting out to shows, a lot of times. So.
I'm so bad. I have a long commute, and by the time I get home, I'm always working on something with this, and it's just, I can never talk myself into leaving my house again.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, you will see me, you'll look out in the audience one day and see me laughing hard at something
cool.
So.
Well, the next one's Friday, July 13th at the Improv Lab.
What about the one after that? Because this may come out after
August 10th is August the one 10th. After okay. August 10th at the Improv Lab on Melrose, Friday. Okay. Yeah.
Friday
10,
at the Improv.
10:30 p.m. Okay. Or doors at 10, show at 10:30.
I'll reiterate that at the end of the show.
So. I don't know who's on the August show, but July
who's up the July 13th in case this comes out?
Moshe Kasher and Chelsea Wolfe is the musical guest, and then Steven Spielberg.
Oh,
one of those.
I started doing. You just
I like that he was the third.
Yeah, he's the third one. Wow, awesome.
Well, he doesn't do much on stage, so you know.
So we do something on this show. We're gonna keep it kind of short this time because last time it went on a little too long. But
yeah.
How many, if you had to take a guess in that greater, city of Los Angeles, how many people do you think are watching Cool Runnings right now?
Eight. You know, it's funny you say that, man. I've had Raul D from Cool Runnings on the Jesse Miller Show
really?
Before.
You might have
yeah,
to get me his
you know,
contact
he played
information.
He's an amazing stand-up.
He's really good stand-up.
Really?
He was awesome.
Really?
You know the scene from Cool Runnings? I have Cool Runnings on DVD, also autographed by Raul D. Thanks to having
on
him on the
Chris.
Guest on the Jesse Miller Show.
Yeah.
And, you know, the series, like, I see pride. I see power.
Yeah.
I got to recite that with him as Jesse on stage. All
wow.
of us did. And we got the whole crowd to recite
that
the shit with
awesome.
Us. And, yeah, so we had a real Cool Runnings moment on the Jesse Miller Show.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's cool,
well,
man.
Really
he was,
awesome.
I'll let you guys answer.
He
on.
Was actually a really good guest as far as, I mean,
just
like, among many
to...
others. But, yeah, stand up and rolling with, like, the punches
right,
of Jesse
right.
commenting. And then he was such a good interview because Jesse's so into, like, early 90s pop culture.
Right.
Or just pop culture in general, but, like...
His knowledge base is
yeah. So that was like awesome, and for me, I saw Cool Runnings at the theater. That was like a
who
special
cool
fun
the
show to have.
If
him
you didn't
on.
See Cool Runnings at the theater, you know the 20th anniversary of Cool Runnings is gonna be coming up.
Yeah, next
too.
Year. Yeah, yeah.
I bet Disney's going to be opening up the vault. For
oh,
Disney.
Yeah. Fantasia, Cool Runnings. Get it on Blu-ray for a limited six-month period.
But I'm going to have to pin you down and get an answer from you. Honestly, in just Los Angeles,
yeah.
how many people, which we
LA
looked
County.
At, LA County, how many people does it have? 3 million?
At this moment, watching Cool Runnings.
At this moment, how many people? Or just at any given moment?
Like, I say three. I mean, I don't know if there's any way we can figure this out. I bet you three people are watching Cool Runnings in LA County right now.
And
wait, there might be multiple people watching it if someone is watching it. So are we counting screens or people watching?
Just people
we're counting screens.
No, we're talking people.
Okay.
I've always been talking screens.
Oh, shit. Well, okay. Well, I'm going to bust it up to seven to nine then. Three screens, seven to nine people.
And I don't mean on in a movie theater. I just mean even DVD, VHS, anything. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I wasn't
right
talking
now.
About a movie theater.
Just,
no one's watching it at a movie theater right now.
You
know, no offense to Cool Runnings.
You know,
I love
you
it. But
know if someone, like, people do that sort of weird thing where they'll
Steven
reshow.
Steven Spielberg
like,
has a home theater.
Yeah.
Where they'll reshow Goonies at, like, a small theater.
We projected
for, like,
Goonies on our basement
see,
wall. Yeah.
So
projection screens count now?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, that's not a movie screen.
There's a possibility it could be showing on cable right
that's
now.
That's the other thing.
Well, I was in Florida recently, and it was on TV, and I did watch it.
See,
and I was gonna Facebook Raul D and tell him, but the internet didn't work at the house I was at.
So
I was like, dude, I'm watching you right
account.
Now.
But taking that into account, just
if there's a
at any given moment,
if you saw it on TV recently, I'm gonna bump it up and say 20
people.
Hang on.
Here we go.
This is the calling with the information about Cool Runnings right now.
This is Disney.
This is my sister Sarah. Hey, do you know if they're are you watching Cool Runnings right now? I'm doing a podcast and we're trying to find out who's watching Cool Runnings. You're not? Okay, well, let's strike one person off the list in Cincinnati.
But she's in Cincinnati.
We're
so.
Just going to narrow down people who aren't watching Cool Runnings.
Can I call
Runnings.
You back later or let me know if you end up watching Cool Runnings? Okay, say hi to the podcast real quick. I'm putting on speaker. Say hi.
Hey.
Now say bye.
But do it with a Jamaican
bye.
Accent.
Yeah, say Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
All right, bye.
The accent.
Oh, stupid.
So, I wanted to hear the accent.
All right, do a Jamaican accent, Sarah, and say Cool Runnings.
I don't think so.
Come on. You're letting everybody down. Do it with do it with John Candy's accent. Do a John Candy's accent. Say Cool Runnings as John Candy.
John Candy?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
I
bye.
I can't do a John Candy. I don't remember what he sounds like.
He sounds like a white guy from Canada.
I just do a really cheesy one, no.
All right, how about this? Do Cool Runnings as you.
Wait, just say Cool Runnings?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Cool Runnings.
All right, bye.
Wait, is your
wasn't that worth the wait?
Is your sister's name Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah
My
Hyland.
My sister's name is Sarah.
Yeah.
Not Hyland, though. That'd be
yeah.
weird.
Yeah. Her first name's not Sarah Hyland?
With an H
yes.
or no H?
H-Y. Oh, yeah, right. I was like, Hyland with an H, man.
Is it with an H, yeah?
Yeah.
Sarah's with an H.
Yeah.
We have a lot in common. Do you ever notice we have a lot in common on
We got similar hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Sister's name Sarah.
We both have cool running stories.
Yeah.
So you say 20 and you say 8.
Oh, I say three screens, seven to nine people. Now, that's if it's not if it's on TV, then obviously maybe thousands,
right,
you know.
Chris?
But like,
it's somewhere around 300,000. that's on average.
Chris has always argued that it's on. People don't realize how many people put Cool Runnings in on like a DVD just to keep their kids occupied or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm on this side.
If it's on the TV, you'll never turn. I've never met the person yet who would change the channel when Cool Runnings
is. I bet if it was a weekday, it'd be bumped up a bit because it'd be playing at like a dentist office.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. It might be in some waiting room somewhere. It might be on, popular rotation. Right. I got hit by a van a few years ago and I had to go to physical therapy. And they'd always be playing Liar Liar in the waiting room. And then Anna would wait for me and watch Liar Liar while I was getting electrodes on my shoulder. Oh, and while I rubbed a towel on the wall, which was supposed to be.
I thought you were going
to
say you got hit by a van once that was watching Cool Runnings.
Oh, it might have been. That's why he hit me.
He was reenacting Cool Runnings.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hit by a van is a good segue. As most of your characters, you just go and interact with the real world.
Yeah.
You just go out onto the street and just record yourself doing semi-silly things with real people. Have you gotten into any sort of hairy situations?
Into fisticuffs with people?
Yeah, kind of angry?
Yes and no. In general, I do a pretty good job of diffusing most of those situations, but I've been pretty good at acting like an idiot out in public.
Every time someone started to get mad, you've done a good job of calming them down. But I also could believe that there was some video footage that didn't make it.
You know, it's funny. I run into a lot more altercations when I'm just being my normal polite self that become more heated. Because I think when you're out as an idiot and you're sort of more bombastic and confident, people don't mess with you as much
because bullies look for weakness.
And if I'm just minding my business just walking to go to the grocery more of a thing. Whereas I'm walking around like all pompous, it's like, okay,
that guy's, even if the guy thinks he can kick your ass, he knows that you're at least going to be that what he perceives as
just, it's not going to be an easy job.
He's going to be, he's not just going to cower over.
Exactly. And also funny walking around with that sort of fake cockiness, it becomes real for an afternoon or whatever, because it's insane the amount of stuff you can get away. Like as your normal polite self, unless you're an asshole, of course, I guess it doesn't faze you. But you think like, oh, I would hate to, I'd hate to be looked at as that guy, whatever it might be. But then when you're trying to be that guy, you're like, oh my God, I can get away and still sort of like charm people and still like have a good time and just be like this biggest dick and then like meet a lot of people and it's kind of funny. They think you're kind of an idiot, but also you kind of win people over and it's interesting.
It totally looks fun. It really does. I swear. It's the type of stuff I used to do in high school, but I couldn't get away with it because when you're in high school, it's a little more obvious that you're just playing some character.
You know what
I mean? But once you get a little older and people ever, this is good. I don't know how I'm going to say this without sounding offensive. I personally don't think it. I love that you're still, but anyone's, I hope that I'm doing something similar to that when I'm 60, honestly. But most people sort of say like, oh, you got to grow up. You can't be doing that stuff anymore at this age.
I mean, I don't know what grown up means. I think as long as you're fucking responsible and can take care of yourself and the people you care about, and like, that's fucking being a grown up.
I 100% agree with you. But what I mean is there are a lot less people who are a little bit older who are still doing that type of thing. That seems to be a high school thing. So people are a little more skeptical when they see a high schooler coming up playing a character because they're a little bit more likely to think this might just be a prank or a character. But when you're doing it, once you're a little bit older, people just buy into it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I agree with that. Also, high schoolers, I mean, just because they're less developed, they're at.
Characters
as
well.
They're kind of fearless, too. Right. So
yeah, that's true.
Also, like, I'll say, when I see a group of, like three or four, like, teenage dudes, I'll be like, man, they are just, like, a fucking sentence away from a bad idea. Right. I don't want to be like the dude who gets like a water balloon out of nowhere hit or something stupid. It's just like when I say I'm like if I'm walking on the street and there's like a group of like kids from like 15 to 19, like a group, I'm like, oh,
I know.
I hope I can make it past this group without getting hated on or something like that. Or
there's also another group of people who are,
but they're not even mean. Like separately, they're probably fine. But when you're in like that group mentality, some kids can be the biggest dicks, and you're just like, I understand that.
We were talking about having had any altercations.
There's been a few. Nothing super notable. Crazy. And like I said, most of the time it's just, I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunate, but it's sort of been in between takes or sort of like kind of a thing. You know, a lot of times I don't even like to associate myself with the camera crew when I'm out shooting just to leave it feeling natural.
Of course.
But of course, there's at some point you all have to get in the same car, or whatever. So there'll be these little moments where you are together. But as far as stuff, Harry, I remember like on that Fuel TV show, on Stupid Face.
I was
character,
ask you about that coming up.
So. Character I did, Tim Hutchins. One day we were shooting a number of Tim Hutchins segments, and I don't know, it was just at some little pocket of time I was with the other people who were shooting. And anyway, some kid on a skateboard, just like some thug knucklehead kid, like skateboarded up and like almost hit one of the people I was with. And then it was like, look out, bitch, and like wanted to start a fight. And then I was just like, cool your jets, mister, cool your jets. And that just like, since I just looked like such a dork, it just diffused it. Right, and like, absolutely. He wanted to like throw down. And then it was just like, I can't throw it. This guy's out idiot. I can't make fun of him. He's an idiot. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I saw the Tim Hutchins character at the drum circle, and the drum circle turned on you for sure.
That's one. Yeah. That was a different character, but similar to Phil Gower.
Phil Gower?
Excuse me. But that's actually probably the only best example I have on TV, because I needed to get some sort of situation to some sort of rise or end for that thing.
Yeah.
And it was a little mean what I did. Nothing maliciously bad. I was just being really obnoxious in the drum circle.
Everyone in the drum circle.
But man, they turned on me quick. Yeah. That's true too.
You know
yeah.
I mean? It was.
That is true. They were being obnoxious for everyone else on Venice Beach. So fuck it. Yeah. But they were lost in their good vibes. Yeah. And anyway, I was there doing the Bluetooth thing and getting upset and stomping some sand around. Anyway, they turned on me quick, which was perfect. This is what I kind of wanted to have happen.
You didn't want to have to go for too long.
But yeah, some of the dudes came at me. And I was like, oh man, I was like wanting to bust out. I was like, perfect in the sense of what I kind of wanted to have happen. But I was like, all right, well, this is still really going on right now.
Happening.
I need to,
how do I
diffuse this? I was like, okay, as I'm running away, I'll deliberately trip and like take an L and just eat it in the sand.
Right,
and like,
so they can just laugh at you.
So they can laugh at me. One of two things is going to happen. Either it's going to be like, okay, he got his and he just ate it in the sand and looked like a fool, which I was trying to look like. Yeah. Or I'm going to be on the ground, they're going to come beat me.
Right.
You know what I mean? But luckily,
either way, you're going to get
possibility A happened where they're just like, ah, idiot. And it's a whole drum circle. Like 60 people at Venice Beach laughing at me,
right?
Which is exactly what I wanted to have happen.
Because
yeah.
then you get to walk away, sort of yelling at them that they're the idiots when clearly you were the idiot.
And then, of course, later Phil says the drum circle had gotten too corporate, and that's why.
You are forgetting one though.
What's that?
7-Eleven.
Oh shit!
Wait,
yeah, fuck
7-Eleven.
Or at least, well, not 7-Eleven as a whole. I've been a lot of good experiences at other 7-Elevens, but man, this one near my house in my old place in Silver Lake. Oh god. This is funny too. Yeah, this is a crazy one. I wasn't even performing. I was shooting. I was with my friend Mike Mayfield, who I do a lot of stuff with.
Yeah.
He's the guy who did the animation in my first pilot.
Okay.
And
it was awesome, by the way. Producer Lyle works for Nickelodeon and does some animation stuff, and he really loved just some of the animation that got added into
I'm
going to
turn
too.
My cell phone off so I don't get any more disturbances. I apologize.
It's okay.
That's very Tim Hutchins of me.
This isn't professional, don't worry.
But so anyway, we're at 7-Eleven, and we were just shooting like a little demo thing. It was before the first Comedy Central pilot. We were like, I don't know, just trying to, it wasn't affiliated with the pilot. It was just sort of like, let's try some new shit before we go into
get
it and
ideas.
See. Yeah, exactly.
Just play and see.
And Mike does this animator character, Dick Arnengard, and we thought it'd be funny to shoot this little like lo-fi little like profile in the day in the life of Dick Arnengard,
right.
And he's like this really bad animator, you know, and Mike plays him and does the animation. It's him supposed to be like a profile, but then it's him like hanging out with this like poorly drawn tiger and shark or whatever it is, or a turtle or something, whatever he hangs out with, these like animated animals.
Yeah.
And it's him at, so we're at 7-Eleven. We go in, you know, like I understand a lot of places, a lot of businesses and stuff like that. You go in, if you have a camera, they'll be like, no shooting here. You go, okay, whatever.
Right,
and
exactly.
End of story. But so we go in, and I shot in 7-Eleven before, not that one, but just ones that had never really been an issue. And this one I came in so I'm shooting he's walking around. He's not dressed too wacky. He looks real. He just looks kind of like a gross version of himself as his Dick Arnengard character. And anyway, he's over, you know, we were taping in there for like a good 6 or 7 minutes, not hiding the fact I wasn't like shooting at the hip, like on the sly or anything like that.
I shoot from the hip, I should say that. I should warn you.
It was very open. Like I'm shooting. And it wasn't a big production. I just had a little wireless mic receiver on it, and he had the wireless on, and it was just a little, you know, consumer-grade handy cam thing. I was just shooting him 6 or 7 minutes, just doing whatever in there. And then the counter there is kind of like an island, not like against the wall.
No,
it's just sort of like an island of, you know, counters around the people.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, to the left of... it's hard to describe it via just audio. You know, a 7-Eleven, there's doors on one side.
Right.
If you walked in the doors, you would see the island of counter to your
right.
And beyond that, if you walked all the way to the back wall, is where the fountain drink machines were.
Okay. Yeah.
And we had been there for a good 6 or 7 minutes, which is actually a long amount of time.
To be in
know,
a 7-Eleven.
To be open, like,
short.
It's no secret what we're doing.
And also, just 7 minutes, you're going to see 30 people sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he's over the fountain drink getting a Pepsi or whatever, pretending to feed an alligator. That's what it was. It was an alligator. He's pretending to feed an alligator. Not spilling anything, not doing anything like raucous. It's just kind of a little weird. A little weird, but not even that anything. Anyway, so I'm taping him. then he goes to get in line. So he crosses my path, gets in line. So I just get, oh, it's some B-roll. And this, we weren't even doing like a prank or anything. Right. It was just like day in the life footage, just as I would if I like, he wasn't feeding an animated alligator. It was just him getting a Pepsi, essentially. Exactly. With the exception of him pretending to feed the floor for a moment, you know? And so he gets in line, and then all I say here, no camera, no camera, no camera. And I'm like, what? And I turn around, and one of the clerks just fucking physically attacked me, just started grabbing the camera, side of the camera in one hand. I'm trying to push him off with my other hand. And he goes, smack, smack, just smacking the camera. I'm like, what the hell, dude? And then so you see him attack me, and he smacks the camera. And I'm like, what the hell? And he's trying to get the camera. And it was like one of those deals where like, I wanted to hit him back because I was it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna teach him a lesson. Like I was physically being attacked by some dude, and it took me a second to even like be like, what is going on? Right. I was just shooting him in line. I'm being attacked now physically. Not like, hey sir, can you turn that off? Can you turn that off? No, fuck you, man. I'm not. It was just like boom, this guy physically attacking me, and he's smacking the camera. And I'm like, what the hell? And we sort of shuffle along the whole front of the counter, right?
The camera running the entire time?
The camera's running. He smacked it and messed it up. But, like, I've got footage of him attacking me. Yeah. And so he attacks me, and I'm trying to push him away. And this goes to show that it was not, like, 7-Eleven code of conduct. The other clerk had to help pull him off of me, right? Yeah. So, like, clearly, the other clerk there knew the other clerk was in the wrong. He's just nuts. He's probably on meth or something. Right. I just thought it was, like, or I don't know. Whatever his story is, he was worried that a camera was going to give him away, I guess, you know? So he pushes me away. We go around the other side of the counter, knocking some chips off the shelf or whatever. I don't know. It was just a shit scuffling behind me. Get him away. And then I tried to make a break for the door with Mike, and some like weird raver girl buying a 40 like gets in the way, like citizens arrest. Like she's trying to be like some good Samaritan over something she had no idea what was going on. She gets in front of the door. I'm like, what are you doing? And then she gets in the way. And then of course, like wily eyed, crazy 7-Eleven crackhead clerk jumps in front of me. And he's like, you can't leave. I was like, you have to let us leave. He's like, I'm going to call the cops. I was like, okay, yes, please do call the cops. Right. I was like, but then they'll arrest you for attacking me.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, they'll arrest you for videotaping. I was like, no, they'll arrest you because I have videotape of you attacking me. And that little standoff goes off for a moment or two. And then Mike is trying to be the diplomat. He's like, look, we'll buy something. We'll buy some milk or something. And then all of a sudden in the midst of that, someone unbeknownst to them, all that was going down, like someone walked in the store, and I was like, okay, open door. So we just like ran out the door, and then we ran around the side of the building like, oh, we're out. And we're like, damn it, our car is parked right in front of the door. And then like, and then I was like, I was like this feels like a lightweight wuss move. I was like, but I'll get over here with the camera, you want to grab the car because he's attacking me. Right. So like Mike went back to grab the car.
Well, it's not even a wuss move, it's just diffusing the situation.
I felt bad. I was like, Mike sent back in solo, yeah. but it would have a practical reason for it or whatever. But he goes back. Oh, I forgot to mention when the raver girl jumped in front of. Oh, when we left, the raver girl dropped her 40 and it broke on the floor. Our fault. Right. Her fault for getting
because she's a raver.
Clerk's fault for causing the scene, which led someone to think whatever. Yeah. It was idiots' time of day, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so she dropped her 40, and she was like, "Look what you did! Look what you caused!" and then Mike got in the car and we left, and we're like, shit, man, they're obviously gonna call the police, but we've left now, which makes us look guilty. I was like, all right, well, why don't we drive somewhere? And I know we didn't, but like if we leave, then it's all them to tell the story. I was like, all right, so let's go somewhere else and we'll just call the police and tell them what happened. And that's what we did.
And the both stories would have already been out there, so it didn't look like you're trying to create a story.
And we notified 7-Eleven headquarters, and they did not believe a damn thing I was saying. They're like, well, maybe 7-Eleven, maybe the employee thought, you know, people come in and try to do things where they fake an injury and try to sue the corporation.
Right.
I was like, no, that's not what happened. And you know, and I was like, okay, let's just say that was his excuse. Like if he was fearful that we were going to fake something to sue 7-Eleven with, he certainly gave us a reason to physically attack me. Right. You know, I was like, and then, so eventually they saw the security tape. She's like, we could tell you, your story checks out. Like, you know, so anyway, so that it was pathetic. They didn't even fire the guy. They didn't fire the dude.
Well,
any job, if I attacked a customer, I would be fired.
Yeah.
Fuck that dude, man.
I attacked a guy at my job once when I was working at FedEx. Someone came into my truck while I was in the truck.
You don't get in a FedEx truck.
He started yelling at me, and I just ignored him. And then he got out of his car and came into the truck. And he was yelling at me outside. You know, a FedEx truck, you have to walk up the stairs to get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was standing, like, when he started yelling at me, I just put it in neutral and put the e-brake on, and I stood up at the top of the stairs, and he's just yelling at me, and he's telling me he's going to kick my ass, and I'm like, look, I was basically just telling him, get out of here. Like, I didn't have time. The reason that I kind of cut him off was because I'm always late anyway as a FedEx guy. So.
Yeah.
So,
you didn't see a guy in the corner videotaping you jump out of your FedEx truck and attack right. him. You know what I mean?
But he did come in, and he said, I'm going to come in there. I was like, well, you're not allowed in this truck. If you come in this truck, I'm going to take you back out of the truck. He's like, what? And he just starts running into the truck, and I push him back out of the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, he attacked me! He starts yelling around everyone else, and no one's around.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not on some mission to get 7-Eleven employees fired. But that guy, you know, he's not in the right mind to be doing customer service.
Exactly. He could be moving.
Put him in the back stocking stuff. That's I don't right. know.
Move him
whatever.
Somewhere
yeah.
where he's not dealing directly with the consumer base.
Exactly.
7-Eleven's got to know that their employees have caused problems before, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hire the cream of the crop to man the 7-Eleven at night.
So yeah, I don't know when this episode will come out. I'll try to get it up before July
13th.
Yeah, we have two episodes.
Well, July 13th, August 10th, either one.
I'll try to make it out there July 13th. I think I'm actually going to. Well, I'm in Comic. I think Comic Con is that.
It
weekend.
Is. It's going on that weekend.
I think I have to be at Comic Con that weekend.
Out of town.
But the you do a lot of stuff at UCB Theater also.
There's stuff there on occasion. You know, the Improv Lab is like my sort of home since I do the monthly show there. But then you know. I did Holy Fuck last Tuesday, which is at the Independent Theater downtown. Then I did Pizza Party, which is in Silver Lake on Friday. So, okay. Around. But like sort of my home base, I guess, is
Do you
is
have
the
like
Improv
a,
Lab the past year.
A website where people can find out what like all the live events coming up or anything like that?
Yeah.
Or...
I'm on Facebook. Right. Just as Andre Highland as me. And okay. then there's my website, AndreHighland.com or BlondeChili.com.
Yeah.
They both go to the same site.
Right.
Blonde Chili is spelled BLOND. CHILI.com.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll put up a whole list of if I know all the upcoming dates or, you know, but I definitely post flyers and
okay,
stuff
cool.
for upcoming shows. So yeah, those two places would be good.
Awesome. And I can't personally recommend a live show, but I can tell you that, everything I've
I can
the, everything
go to
I've
them.
Seen on the internet is awesome. And I, once I see one, I guarantee I'll just come back with raving reviews. So Andre is a fun guy and he was a great guest. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, real quick.
Go ahead.
I don't know if we ever fully clarified. Anna plays Jesse's girlfriend.
Tanya
Starlett. I just want to make sure she gets her proper
shout
out.
I'm Starlett. You better believe it. You better come to our live show.
And what's the guy's name that plays,
Daryl.
That's
Paul Owen. He's funny as hell.
All three of them together. I mean, it's absolutely, like I said, it's absolutely believable. If you were to see this in a parking lot, you would have to stop and watch, but you wouldn't think you were watching a show. You would just think you were people watching, and you would tell someone about this thing that you saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I was going to ask, actually. There was a video I saw where you guys were on a Hummer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Was that one of your Hummers, or was that legitimately?
That's one of the few times. I'll try to make a brief story. Like, I like to play on the reel as
right.
much as I can. That was part of the first Comedy Central pilot I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was like the first big sort of, I wouldn't say battle, but sort of like once you're on a schedule with, I don't know, like money
yeah,
and all that, like you have to hit certain things. It was written into our story. It wasn't like the prank was not, you know, We were trying to do like a photo shoot for Tanya's new headshot
right.
and we thought it'd be funny if they found a Hummer in a parking lot and do it on the comeback. I think it's okay to have the Hummer planted because we just needed it for that. But I would not like it if we had a fake guy come out and get angry at us
right.
and chase us off.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that's bullshit or whatever.
No,
But you know, that was one of the first.
Well,
I
just thought it would have been super ballsy because I assumed that it was a fake Hummer. But I didn't.
But the thing is, most that like 90% of the shit is like this drum circle, all that stuff is real. And that's why I always.
You don't like working too much fake stuff in because
yeah because
it,
because it puts like
a
puts a weak link in the
right.
chain of reality, and if you
Absolutely.
Go, oh, that's fake, then that one thing must have been fake, and
yep.
if that big blow up at the drum circle's fake,
right,
and if it was fictional, why didn't they blow it up more?
Absolutely.
It's kind of weak because
it's
so much of it hard, you know, is on the reality
but at the same
of
time,
it. And
if you're doing something for Comedy Central, that's awesome. It's an awesome opportunity. So you, it makes sense that
yeah,
are
yeah, it's trying to find
slightly,
that.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to change it. It's just when you have a schedule. You have to make sure these notes are hit, and
right.
then you know, like it's trying to find what you're comfortable. You know, it's all experimenting and finding out what I'm comfortable with and what I'm not. Because as soon as one thing seems fake, I mean, I don't think that seemed fake. You could just question whether it was or wasn't. But I don't know. As soon as one thing feels fake, all the real stuff loses its potency. You okay. know what I mean? So that's one thing I'm always fearful of in that world.
Right,
and that's
right.
one of the tough obstacles of trying to string together a whole arc with the backdrop of reality.
Definitely.
Is getting over those sort of hurdles. Of
so, Anna, are you counts. At every Jesse Miller show?
Yeah, she's in it. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Do you have...
I think there's three that she wasn't there for.
Do you have other stuff that you... Like, is there anything else you got? I always want to plug as much as possible. Just
I also perform live pretty regularly, and I have my own website, AnnaLeeLawson.com.
But she's definitely a regular fixture of the Jesse
awesome.
Show. Yeah, yeah. We just did our second pilot as the Jesse Miller Show for Comedy Central.
Really?
So...
That sounds awesome.
Goes.
That really is great. When did you do that?
We shot it in March.
You guys gotta go. Sorry.
Yeah, we gotta go. We got a I'm birthday sorry. Party to go to. We have ice cream to eat.
We gotta eat some ice cream.
Yeah. yeah. So you can just keep your fingers crossed that there'll be like some sort of TV show.
I'm rooting for you, honestly.
Of some amalgamation.
That would be totally awesome. So good luck getting that.
I'd love to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll plug it hardcore on this. Anyone that does anything on this, everything in the future that they do, feel free to let me know and we'll plug stuff. All we right, have people, cool, a lot of people
thanks.
In LA that listen.
Hopefully more than are watching Cool Runnings right now based on our...
I don't know if we're pulling those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys aren't, pulling right CR numbers? You guys aren't...
All right, well, thank you.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.